previously.
It's all about the future. And you know what? Don't think the future includes you.
You are so naive.
And you are really pissing me off.
Please.
No.
I'll let you stamp my bum.
I'll get me coat.
Do you think I could have my hand back?
That Evan bloke.
Yeah, sorry.
It's very complicated.
And it's none of your business. I don't think there's any need for Tim to find out, do you?
He's could have torn my family apart.
And what if the truth is just too big to comprehend?
Is there something you need to tell me?
We are waiting for you, Alice.
I can't die, can I?
Jean puts a comforting arm around Alex. Alex is tossing and turning restlessly in bed. She wakes with a start. A cine projector is showing a whole movie of young Alex and her mum. Alex is playing with a Rubik's Cube.
I remember this. I remember it.
Young Alex throws the cube on the floor in a fit of pique.
Alex Price, don't you dare be a quitter. Come on, keep going. 7 steps to solving it, you said. What's the first one?
You start at the top with the corners.
Well, go on then.
Molly's watching the movie with Alex.
You know who that is, don't you, Mills?
Where did you get that? Oh, I know.
No. No. Where did I get it?
The projector's beam disappears, and Alex looks perplexed as a hoary frost suddenly spreads up the sheet towards her.
Where did I get the cube? Why can't I remember? This is like I'm not making connections. This is like I'm dying.
A speeding bullet in slow motion. The bed opens up underneath her, and Alex plummets through inky blackness, the bedsheet flapping around her tumbling body. She stops falling, and Alex gasps as her head lolls back on her pillow. Beside her, a covered mound of sheet moves as if someone's getting out of bed. Jean's gloved fist hammers down on a desk.
If you want to sleep on the job, join the fire brigade. You look as rough as a badger's arse.
Chris is reading a magazine.
You know, some people get pick at a pops, not me. I get pick at a twats. In the car, now, move!
Alex gets up from her desk and follows Jean and Ray out of the door. Shaz intercepts Chris and they go to kiss.
He said now.
So what's the deal, Guff?
About a tip-off. There's a blag about to go off at the post office on Norvington Road.
Who gave the tip?
It was a non.
A non?
A non. Anonymous. Get in.
Alex climbs into the front passenger seat of Jean's coupe, and it screeches away from the car.
Just like the good old days.
Over-the-counter jobs. Love them.
Should I put a siren on?
Yeah, we'll let them know we're coming, shall we?
Pedestrian!
Stop moaning. I didn't hit him. What is up with you this morning? We haven't got the decorators in again, have we?
Is my brain so small?
2 masked men armed with shotguns and a handgun. Shotguns fired.
Reported leaving the scene on the back of a motorbike.
Both wearing distinctive helmets.
One is black with a stripe, the other is red.
What are they, junk jockeys?
Go. Yeah, I see.
The suspects roar past them. Jean does a handbrake turn and heads off in pursuit.
Armed with shotguns? Shotguns used?
Yes, so duck.
Oh, what a shame. The bike's packing up.
As Jean catches up with them, the bike accelerates away.
Cheeky bastards.
Go on.
Jean throws the coupe into a sharp left corner.
Bum conkers, they're getting away, Gov.
Jean performs another handbrake turn as the bike loops round them and heads along the pavement. The suspects seem to wait for Jean to catch them up, and he pulls alongside before they roar off again. Chris spots a truck blocking the road up ahead. Jean slams on the brakes.
Oh, ye of little faith.
All hail the mighty Quattro.
Jean reverses up level with the pedestrian underpass where the suspects are waiting. They wheel around in a circle before riding off. One raises a triumphant fist.
Now that's just taking the piss.
My name is Alex Drake. I've just been shot and that bullet has taken me back to 1981. I may be 1 second away from life or 1 second away from death. All I know is that I have to keep fighting. Fight to live. Fight to see my daughter. Fight to get home.
BBC, Ashes to Ashes. Starring Philip Glenister, Huey Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Faroa and Matthew Graham. Written by Nick Ford. A copper's talking to a woman outside a small post office and general store as the team arrive.
And let me clarify, let me be clear. She is very much shouting in panic and mayhem.
Yeah.
And the young one has a pistol. And the old one has not one shotgun, but two.
Right.
Two shotguns. Two.
Okay.
And it goes boom, give me the money. Well, naturally, I comply.
Well, of course. And how much money did they take?
In excess of £4,000. Oh, and in case it helps, may I tell you that I personally give a little rip to each note that passes through here.
A little rip?
Yes, by its thin metal strip. See, a little tear. There have been so many forgeries lately.
Right.
But also, when they're grabbing the money, they take my Krishna statue, which my father gave me, and his father gave him, and his father
gave him. Mr. Chatterjee, they were wearing masks, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
So how would you know if one was old and one was young?
How do I know that you're old and he's young? By the way you move, by the timbre of your voice.
You're very perceptive, Mr. Chatterjee.
Thank you.
And so the one that said give me the money, did he have an accent?
Ah, my ear is not attuned yet, but definitely not Welsh. Well, all Welsh people sound like they come from Calcutta.
You got enough for a profile yet?
The young one in the red helmet, though, he's American.
American? How do you know he's American?
Well, because my wife, unfortunately, is a fan of Hill Street Blue. And as I'm putting the money in their bag, this young one, you know, the one who took the Krishna, he keeps asking me, am I talking to him? Which I most sincerely am not, because his tone is not encouraging. But he keeps asking, pointing his gun.
You talking to me? Are you talking to me? You talking to me?
It was him.
So what are we going to do now then, Gov?
Jean looks at Alex.
Well?
We could trawl the files for other aides using shotguns, or we could go back to the underpass, because the young one in the red helmet is local.
How'd you work that out?
Well, the way he was riding the bike, he was taunting us, he was leading us on. I mean, he knew that that underpass was there, and I would say that that demonstrates local knowledge, and that I'm making connections.
It goes boom, it goes boom, it goes boom, it goes boom.
Sorry, I was just doing Mr. Chatterbox's shotgun dance. The one he did in there?
Do it again for me.
It goes boom.
You don't know with the actions.
It goes boom. It goes boom.
They cross their arms.
It goes boom.
It goes boom. It goes boom.
Yeah, was it a bit more, it goes boom. It goes boom.
Yes, yes. Exactly like that.
Yeah, Chaz Kale.
Chaz Kale?
Chaz Kale.
So, who's Chaz Kale? How old is he?
That's a problem. He's quite young. About my age.
Jean gets on his car radio.
Granger, give me the whereabouts of a Chaz Kale. I've known about him for a few years, so he might have been inside. Get Viv to do a PNC check.
Sorry, but before you go, if Chris is there, can I have a word, please?
What is this, a bloody request show? Sorry, love, he's a bit tied up being a policeman at the moment. I'll give him a message.
Right-o.
She says you're a pranny with the knob of a dormouse.
Alex shivers.
From you, you got a chill?
No, fine.
Someone's walking over a grave very slowly.
Looks as if they're about to stop for a smoke.
Oh, hey, good idea. It's just what I wanted.
Leave it out.
It's cold.
Passive smoking kills, all right?
Well, we'll jiggle about a little bit, okay? Just wind the window up.
Jean exhales a cloud of smoke in her face. A cobbled street.
So what exactly do we know about this man?
Chaz Cale is someone of a legend. Shotguns was his trademark, hence the Mexican. Came across each other when he came to Manchester 10 years ago.
Yeah, did the bank next to the Royal Exchange. Got away with $500,000, weren't it?
Yeah. And I nicked him good and proper. Watertight.
He got off though, didn't he?
How? I'll never know. Come on.
Jean gets out of the car. Chris and Ray follow him. Alex remains in her seat, staring at the back of her hands.
When the brain dies, it keeps trying to make connections for up to 7 minutes. My body temperature's dropping. Technically, I could be dead already. I've got to keep making connections. I've got to keep thinking.
The Rubik's Cube. The Piero appears at Alex's door window and breathes on the glass, covering it in frost. Alex jumps as the door opens.
You joining us, Bolly Knickers?
The team head into a smart restaurant.
Thank you, Raimondo.
A woman approaches Jean.
Table for four?
Why not?
Who are you eating then?
It's very generous of you, Chris. Christopher's buying us lunch.
Oh, nice one, Chris.
Aperitifs? Cocktail?
Is that right, Chris? In that case, I would like a Chaz Cale.
I'll go and get him.
You seen these prices? £3.20 for a T-bone steak without the chips.
It's like a Bernian, isn't it? Classy.
Well, knob me sideways.
Hello, Chaz. You old scrubber.
Darling, let me introduce Quality Filth. This man and me had a run-in up in Manchester, what, 15 years ago?
10. 15 is what you would have got if you'd gone down.
Anyway, he lost. 1-0. Jean Hunt, my lovely wife, Jo.
You must have made an impression, Mr. Hunt. He never usually remembers names.
Well, this is easy, isn't it? Rhymes with my favourite word. In fact, we used to call him Hunt the...
Yes, thank you, Chaz. We still have diners in.
Oh, good. I'm in trouble now. Well, never mind, eh? Why don't we break open a bottle of champers? Bolly, yeah? Everybody fancy a drop of Bolly?
Does it come with knickers?
Sorry, sweetheart.
Ignore her, she's laying an egg, she'd love some.
I do hope this is a social call.
So do I.
Where were you today between midday and 2 o'clock, Mr. Cale?
I beg your...
Excuse me, why do you ask?
Hang on, darling. I run a restaurant. I'm the chef here. Where do you think I was at lunchtime? What, you think the customers come in, choose off the menu and cook it themselves?
You haven't answered my question. And you haven't answered mine. Someone using shotguns, using your husband's trademark, did a post office this morning.
A post office? Me do a... Listen, gorgeous, apart from the fact that I'm retired and my wife would kill me if I went over the counter again, when I did banks, OK? Banks, not bleeding post offices. I'm insulted now. I'm sorry, I'm insulted.
Well, I'm the Queen Mother's left nipple if you didn't do it, Chaz, because I'd know your MO anywhere.
He was here all lunchtime. You can ask the sous chef. I'll go and get him for you.
It's OK, Mrs. Cale. Ray can go and have a word with him for us.
Ray gets to his feet.
I feel an equaliser coming on.
Later, at an interview room in the Nick.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have told you.
Babe, save it. Wait for the solicitor to get here.
Said the robber to his mole.
I'm losing it with you.
Come on then, Chaz, lose it with me. Give us your best shot. Because this time I'm going to put you down so fast you'll think you're a bloody horse and all creatures great and small.
Stop this. Stop it. Show them your dog tag. Go on, get your wallet out.
No. No.
Show them. Look at you.
Babe.
Show them before there's no need.
Chaz reaches behind his head and removes a chain from around his neck.
He's a chronic convulsive epileptic with life-threatening arrhythmias, meaning when he fits, his heart beats at 230 beats per minute, meaning the next fit could kill him.
He takes pills for it, right?
Call his doctor. Put your smart aleck questions to someone you'll trust, because, yes, he takes phenobarbital, which is why he can't drive, but he still fits. And the fits are brought on by adrenaline rushes, OK? So that's why he couldn't have done your pathetic post office job and why I made him leave that life 8 years ago and come into the restaurant trade, where we were very happy until you walked in.
8 years ago?
That's when I became this. Useless. That's when the fits started. So what more do you want to hear?
Phone the doctor. Ray's on his way back. The sous chef confirms the alibi. And you put him through this. Thank you.
Jean ponders for a moment, then pushes the chain and a wallet across the table to Chaz, He then gets up and leaves the room. Alex follows him out.
You're not sure, are you?
I am, unfortunately. Not him.
What about your gut instinct?
Ah, my gut instinct, yeah. Funny things, guts and instinct.
Trust it.
Trust what? I was wrong. I knew Chas Kale when he was in his prime, and I am telling you for a fact he is not the same man that he once was, which, believe you me, is a disappointment because maybe, just maybe, none of us are.
You don't believe that.
Trawl the files for the suspects. You find anything, I'll be in the pub. Company not required.
I need you.
Or appreciated.
No, no, I will not have you going wobbly on me. I was watching Kale and his whole body language was evasive.
He's epileptic and ashamed.
No, he is guilty.
He's ashamed. He's ashamed of being past his best. But I'll give him this. At least he knew when to call it a day.
Jean storms out of the office, leaving Alex looking frustrated. She shivers as she passes Chris and Shaz.
Oh, yeah, this restaurant, Chas Kale's place, is really swanky, beautiful. You know, and the first thing I thought when I went in there is I'd love to take Shaz somewhere like this.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, no, but let's do it. Let's go somewhere upmarket, you know, somewhere special this Saturday, mate.
What about me and you?
Well, no, I think it's a place for couples, mate.
You've become such a puff.
A puff?
Yeah. Only likes girls now.
Well, I'm sure you know how to play with yourself, Ray.
Ray frowns at her.
Though, come to think of it, I might be busy on Saturday. I'm at my mum's, so another time. Sorry.
Pity you didn't remember that earlier, isn't it?
Alex stares at the back of her hand while holding a hot mug.
Tiny part of the brain that controls the temperature. It's on the blink. Why would that be?
The Rubik's Cube. A montage of images playing and rewinding, a speeding bullet, an explosion, a red balloon, and her mother opening a car boot.
At least this time, I can say goodbye.
Morning! Oh, hello. Sorry, I'm expecting a cab. Do you want to come in for a minute?
I called your office. They said you were here.
Well, I'm expected in court, so... Is it about those photographs?
No. I just came to say goodbye. Actually, I'm having to go.
Why? Where to?
Just away from here. Doesn't matter why. And I wanted you to know that I have a daughter. I have a daughter that you would really, really like. Because she and you are... I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. It isn't really... What must you think of me?
Caroline smiles and shakes her head.
I'm just going to tell you. I am. You.
I'm
you
so
are.
Sorry. My cab.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can't say it anyway. Let's just leave it at goodbye.
No, call me.
I don't have the time.
There's always time. Listen, you don't have to go anywhere you don't want to. I, on the other hand.
Thank you. Coming.
They head out of the front door. Alex looks tearfully at Caroline.
Maybe you need to take control.
Caroline closes the front door behind her and strides to a waiting cab. Young Alex throws the Rubik's Cube on the floor.
Alex Price, don't you dare be a pusher.
Solve the case.
Jean's doodling aimlessly on a pad at his desk. He lifts his eyes to glance around the office, then catches sight of his reflection in a computer monitor. He studies it briefly, then takes a sip of amber liquid from a tumbler. He reclines in his chair and puts his feet up on his desk. Alex enters the station and walks purposefully towards Jean's office.
Talk of a doodle. Yes, hello. How are you? What could I do you for?
Chaz Kale.
Allow me to finish that sentence for you. He's no longer a suspect. Thank you very much. Now, if you'd like to step back next door, you can catch up with the investigation, which even as I speak is moving on apace.
I gather you've made progress.
No, not really.
What progress?
Okay, fine. Start from the beginning. Gather round, please. Okay, can I point out that we were witnesses? We saw two men on a bike, one of whom was local and fancied himself as Robert De Niro. So, may I suggest that you go and check out the local pubs?
Roger that.
Yeah, great.
Keep a low profile.
Okay.
Oi! Oi!
You may have lost faith in yourself, but I was there when you first said Chaz Kale, and I know that you knew it was him.
Can we just knock this on the head once and for all? We have no evidence. It's a minor detail to you, I know, but one that is currently very fashionable.
Okay.
Where are you going? Where's old Tonto and Kimo Sabi gone?
They have gone on a pub crawl near the underpass to see what they can find.
Pub crawl? Where are my car keys?
Sir?
You got them, Shaz?
They're maybe on your desk.
Alex takes the keys she whipped from Shaz's grasp and heads out. Carrying a Rubik's Cube she confiscated from Chris, Alex walks down the station steps towards Jean's coupe. She gets behind the wheel, starts it up, and drives off. Alex brings the coupe to a screeching halt near Chaz's restaurant. She lifts the lid of two dustbins full of rotting food, then begins rifling through the contents of one of them. Grimacing at the stench, she ties a knot in the top of a bin liner and holds it out. Jean to Viv.
I put it here. Right here, right outside the flaming police
station. We'll call out for it.
The coupe slides around a corner and hurtles towards the station. Jean steps out into the road.
Nobody but me drives my bloody car.
Just have to get something.
She flips the lid on the boot and Jean recoils.
In God's name, no one stinks my motor out.
Excuse me, that is evidence.
I wouldn't worry about it because you're off the case.
Off the case?
Off the case and off the team.
Oh, off the team?
Yes. Actually, no, you can clean my car out.
I'm off the team.
Will you back on it? Drake, I want you making my car smell nice again. Drake, get back here. Drake, will you? You're off the team.
Shaz holds open a door for Alex as she drags two full bin bags into a storeroom. Alex frowns as she drops the bags on the floor and leans against some shelving, breathing deeply. A bright light fills the room, and Alex turns to see a distorted image of the Piero staring at her. The light goes.
Mom? Mom? I'm taking you home. Come on.
Jess, that is not rubbish, okay? You don't let anybody throw that away.
Okay, yeah.
Chris and Ray playing on an arcade game.
It's what's this, isn't it? It's the graphics, they're amazing.
Yeah. It's great not having any birds around and all. Well, Shaz.
I'm gonna get a bird of your own.
Not when I'm playing this, I don't.
Jeans and Luigi's.
What are you doing drinking by your own? Where are your men? And why is the lovely signorina up in her flat also by her own?
The lads will be here soon. As for the lovely signorina, well, she can take a swan dive from her window as far as I'm concerned.
Ah, I see. Be careful. Who will catch her?
No one, hopefully.
You say that now, but what if he is dashing, handsome, full of youthful vigor?
Luigi.
I've seen him. I don't know his name, but she bring him here once. He is very keen.
Yes.
Yes, so strike while the iron's hot. Go to her.
Luigi, D.I. Drake is of no interest to me whatsoever. Comprehende? Now change the bloody subject or go away.
You don't fool me.
Gene turns his back grumpily and takes a swig of beer. Upstairs.
Balls?
Alex is sitting on her bed, hugging a pillow.
Molly, I wanted to talk to you. Because I don't think that I'm going to be able to get back to you. And I wanted to say goodbye. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Tears well in her eyes.
It's ending here. I'm dying here.
Now the room's in darkness, but for an amber glow at a window. Alex lies fully dressed on her bed, shivering, her jacket draped over her.
7 steps to solving it, you said? What's the first one?
Boom, it goes boom!
Images of young Alex and flashbacks from the case. Then the Piero lurking in her bedroom doorway. She opens her eyes as he looms over her. She sits bolt upright in bed, breathing heavily. Alex places trembling fingers on a wall chart with dates crossed off in red.
Can't go yet. It's too soon.
Jean polishes off a pint.
You drink alone because of love.
Yeah, you can deny all you like, but you're not alone. All Englishmen in the art of seduction are pathetic. No passion.
Alex is curled up on a sofa, shivering. A distorted image of the Piero against a brilliant white light. Alex falls through the darkness, a sheet cloaking her body. Her head thumps against the pillow, and beside her in bed, an unseen figure emerges from under the sheet. Alex is roused by a banging noise. She gets up from the sofa and goes to the door.
To stop Luigi asking me why I'm drinking on my own, look at me. You got the lurgy, you have. I know what you need. Come on.
Chris and Ray are still playing an arcade game.
You talking to me?
They both turn to look at a young, dark-haired man standing with a group of maids.
You're a bossy cow.
And you are a Bonapartist.
Fine, what's that then? Like double-jointed?
You take no notice of anybody else. You refuse to delegate. Everything has to go through you, be decided by you, and I will tell you something else.
Oh, good, terrific.
If you're not careful, you're going to lose Chris and Ray. Yes, you are, because maybe they worship you, maybe they do, but they get diddly shit in return, don't they?
I am their DCI, not their bloody Arcala.
When was the last time you gave them any responsibility, any genuine, you make the decision responsibility? I bet you've never done it, have
fine,
you?
Fine, maybe I am over the hill.
Oh, Jesus. You are young. You're young.
It's Chris for you.
Isn't he, Luigi? Young.
Who? Him.
Oh, great, thank you. What is this, Slap Gene Day? Right, you pair of tonsils. Where you been, what you up to? Come again. Right, I'm on my way. I reckon I got the young biker boy down at the station. I'm going down there. You stay here, you're not well.
No, I'm quite, I'm better.
She hurries after him.
You see, when you give them responsibility, they get things done. Chris and Ray have done this on their own.
He was in the pub doing the Robert De Niro impression. He's in here. We had him just like that. It was a lovely clean take. He stepped out and...
A small boy.
Yes, I knew criminals were getting younger these days, but...
Where's he gone? Where is he?
What do you mean?
Where is he?
I left him with you.
He was in here.
So where is he now, then? I've been getting this for the kid.
More responsibility.
Oh, shut up.
Donnie, listen to me. This is very important, OK? Look at me. Very important. Where's Billy? Where's your Uncle Billy? Where's he gone?
To the loo.
Everything all right?
You've been to the post office on Northington Road today because I hear you do a pretty mean Robert De Niro impression in there.
He can do all sorts. He can do anyone.
You got a 500cc dirt bike?
I wish.
He could ride one. He can ride anything. He can do tricks.
Lost me licence, though, didn't I? And with it, me bike.
Well, and that stops you, does it?
Don't know who you're looking for, pal, but if you think it's me, you've got the wrong bloke.
I think we should adjourn to the interview room, don't you, pal?
See you in a minute.
I was outside the pub, waiting, because Billy's looking after me.
Well, why was that? Why was Billy looking after you?
Alex, hi.
It's Evan. In bed, a figure lying next to Alex lifts up the sheet.
What?
Sorry, I think I had a dream about you.
Really?
Last night.
Wow. No, it's good, it's good. I mean, it's good to see you smiling. Caroline said you were a bit upset.
I was, yeah. What are you doing here?
Well, I just...
Oi, lift and separate. Get your big bum over here.
Ah, sorry.
It's okay. I just wanted to say if you need my help.
Dehydrate.
Cool. Anytime. Really, anytime.
Thanks.
You don't talk to that man. He works for Caroline Price.
I'll talk to whoever I like.
Alex!
I'm handing Donny over to Shaz.
No, you're not. Just come in with us.
To Billy in an interview room.
Let's say between 10 and 3 today, what were your movements?
Can I start a little earlier? Because my sister, Donny's mum, went into labour last night and she called me from the hospital and asked me if I can come in and stay with her till after the baby's born, which happened this afternoon. So I've been in the hospital, well, from last night through to this evening when I went to the pub to wet the baby's head.
He has, he's been looking after me.
Where, Donny?
At the hospital.
Since when?
Since I didn't go to school.
So your sister wanted you, her brother, to be her birthing partner? She wanted you at the birth?
Yeah.
She's a single parent?
Nah. She's married to Sean, Donnie's dad. He was there too, and that's why I was there. Well, and to look after Donnie.
So I'm sorry to push this point, but why did your sister want you at the birth?
Could Donnie go and get a biscuit or something?
Like Chris.
Chris leads Donnie out of the room.
Right, come on then. If your sister's got a husband, why were you needed?
Well, that's what I wondered at first. No one knew. Well, obviously my sister did, but no one else. Till out popped a coffee-coloured knick-knock nipper. Clearly not Sean's, her husband. And then I knew why I was there. Because Sean's upset, understandably. But when he starts slapping her about, well, I had to intervene. But I must say, you lot were very understanding. Because they're rubbish calls, ain't they? Domestics. So you banged him up, Sean, and let him off with a caution, which, given the circumstances, I thought was fair.
Jean nods to Ray.
Go and check it out.
See you, yeah? Nice to meet you. Take care.
Excuse me. Is it tomorrow yet?
Not quite.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
What now?
You know those bin bags?
They are. Oh. Shaz and Viv tip out the bin bag's contents onto some plastic sheeting.
Okay, now, this can tell us everything we need to know about the Kales.
Oh, she's having a laugh, ain't she?
Apparently
nothing
not.
Nothing is insignificant. I want every single scrap of paper sorted into these colour-coded bags. Till receipts, bills, supply invoices.
What colour for this?
A condom.
Oh, bloody hell.
The team sort through a pile of rotting meat and carcasses.
So every item builds up a picture of the person.
Yeah, and such a detailed picture that you could actually steal somebody's identity. You could get into the bank accounts. You know, people throw away the most revealing things and all you have to do is look.
Well, can we look in the morning? Because I've just about had it up to here.
Oh, great.
Well, what have you got?
My niece collects milk bottle tops for Blue Peter and...
Gene slams down the phone in his office and kicks a cabinet. Alex, Chris and Ray exchange puzzled looks. The headlights of Jean's coupe cut through the night as it screeches to a halt on some wasteland and the team pile out. Two squad cars are already there with blue lights flashing. A policewoman leads Donnie towards one of them, her arm around his shoulder.
Just over there on the left.
Portable floodlights illuminate a small grassy area where a body is sprawled out on the ground.
His name is Billy Dane.
Half his face is blown away.
turned him over? Who turned him over? That's an exit wound. Who moved the body? Who turned him over?
The boy.
Donnie's sitting quietly in the back of his squad car. Alex gets in beside him.
Donnie. Hi. Hi. Is it tomorrow yet?
Just.
It's my birthday.
Alex looks at him pityingly.
Donnie. When he dropped us off, we went back to Billy's and the phone was ringing. And Billy answered it. And we came straight back out again when he drove here. And Billy took some money out of this. He told me to wait in the car. Ran over there.
Alex looks inside a bag. She pulls out a Krishna statue and a wad of cash.
And do you know what happened then?
I saw Billy meet this man out there. This tall man. And they talked. And Billy gave him the money. And he was coming back to me. But the man followed him. And he went bang. And Billy fell. He didn't even turn. He just...
It's all right. It's all right.
Alex shows the bag and its contents to Jean.
Money from the post office. Mr. Chatterjee said he took all the notes. Didn't Billy say from Donnie all day? And the boy confirmed it. Right, we need to take him inside. See what he really knows.
He is 7 years old.
And this is now a murder inquiry.
I'm 8, actually. It's tomorrow. It's my birthday. I'm 8.
There you go. See, he's a big boy now.
He's going to give me a party. Crisps and things. And games.
Jean walks off with the bag, and Alex smiles sympathetically at Donnie. The coupe roars away.
Where are we going?
To a party.
At Luigi's.
Go on, ask him, he's not really asleep.
Will you ask with me?
Yeah, okay. Can we have some crisps, please, Uncle Luigi, and some Coke?
And some Pepsi, and chocolate.
Yeah, and one of them big stupid cakes you got with nothing but air in the middle. And ice cream.
And chocolate.
No, we've done chocolate.
More chocolate.
Yes, lots and lots of chocolate. And music, gotta have some music.
And breadsticks.
Candles, don't forget candles.
No, candles. Gotta blow out the candles.
Alex closes her eyes and conjures up an image of Molly blowing out candles. She opens her eyes again and smiles sadly, then rubs her hands together.
Are you always cold? Because you're always shivering.
Luigi, party music!
It's a restaurant, not a discotheque.
It's a birthday!
It's beautiful music!
Right, you wait here.
Chris tips out a waste bin.
We meant to be trying to get a trace on that phone call Billy took. What are you doing?
Seeing what I can find out about us.
Hey, let's do the gavs.
They dive into Jean's office and Shaz rifles through his waste bin.
He's a pig. A bat.
A screwed up sheet of paper.
What?
Show us.
She smirks.
My, oh my. The otits do that.
Is that the Ajay?
It bloody is, aye. And that's himself. This needs pinning up.
Jean tosses a tape to Luigi.
Here.
And gives Donnie a personal stereo.
What, for me?
Yeah, birthday present.
Happy birthday.
A Rubik's Cube.
I'm going to bed now, eh? For good. Donnie, you know you said you spent all day with Billy, is that true?
Did we not talk about Billy?
Didn't you hear what he said?
I am trying to do my job.
More Coke, Donnie. There, now that is my contribution to childhood obesity. Leave me alone.
What's got into you?
What, apart from the shards of lead drilling their way through my skull?
What, you got a headache?
Billy did take me to the park yesterday. And he left me there.
But you said you were at the hospital all day, Donnie.
Yeah. Billy told me not to tell anyone.
Well, when was this?
When Mum had to have the operation to get the baby out. I don't know, lunchtime.
Where did Billy go?
With the man on the bike.
What man was this?
Dunno, but he had a black helmet with a stripe down the middle, and Billy got a red one.
Was this the same man that Billy met tonight?
No, the man tonight was tall.
Jean ponders this for a moment.
Right, I'm going back to the station.
Well, what about the boy? You can't just leave him. I'm not very well.
Be a mother, Alex. Just put him to bed and rub some Vicks on your chest.
I'm not well. I mustn't go to sleep.
And have this, here. Coke. Come on. Raise a glass and say Chaz. Come on, Chaz.
Why are you saying that?
It's what you say when somebody gives you a drink. You say it.
No. I say cheers.
Yeah, because I'm saying how Billy says it. Like when he gave a high five to the man on the bike. He said Chaz. And on the phone tonight, Chaz.
Alex thinks. Later, she and Donnie are waiting at the front door of Caroline's house.
Do you know what time it is? What? Do you need to come in?
No, I can't. I can't. I'm trying to solve something. But in case I can't, and because I've no one else in this world, this is Donnie. Look after him. Please. Bye. No, I can't. I can't leave him with you.
Alex, if you have to.
I can't leave him with you.
He'll be fine. I have a daughter.
I know. And you could be such a wonderful mother. So wonderful. But I don't remember a boy turning up. And surely I would. I know you have a daughter. I know you have a daughter. Because
she's not here right now.
Not here. She's not here. And that's good. Thank you.
Now, Joan is rushing to open the restaurant door to Alex, who's holding her finger on the doorbell.
Keep making connections. Stay alive.
Chaz is watching as Joan opens the door and Alex flashes her police ID.
Inside.
What is this?
Inside, please.
You better have a bloody good reason for this, sweetheart.
Billy Dane, Mr. Cale.
Who?
Billy Dane. You know Billy Dane. The live wire. The cocky boy. The bike boy.
Listen, darling.
The boy you did the post office with.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The boy who was shot dead tonight in front of his 8-year-old nephew on a piece of scrubland.
What?
2 shots. Back of the head. The first delivered after he'd handed over $2,000 from that raid to the man who then blew his face off as he walked away. The second when he was already face down on the ground. All witnessed by an 8-year-old boy.
Why?
Oh, now this is interesting. My husband was here all day. Do you care to confirm that, Chaz? You see, because the self-same 8-year-old boy says that he saw you pick up Billy from the playground next to the hospital, and that Billy was giving you a high five and calling you Chaz.
But I didn't kill him.
No. But you see, the question is...
Jones knocked Alex down with a blow to the head.
Take her to the kitchen. Put her in the kitchen.
Never had him killed.
And you didn't have to do that post office, did you?
He was just a kid.
He was trouble. Trouble when he worked here and trouble when he left.
You said you were going to just teach him a lesson.
Let's make that teaching you a lesson. Well, he won't do it again, will you? Kitchen! It's Joan Cale. Get over here now. Yes, at the restaurant.
Alex falls into unconsciousness as Chaz looms over her. Soon, he's dragging her into the kitchen on a white sheet.
He's on his way. He'll be here soon.
Who?
Tie her up. Gag her too.
What are we going to do with her?
She'll be collected and taken away.
Are you mad?
Do you really think, with what I've set up here, do you really think that I can have police crawling all over us just because you can't resist one last taste of what it was like? And you could kill yourself doing that.
God! Adrenaline brings on fits, and the next one could... So tie her up, and tie her tight.
Alex comes too, as Chaz places a gag over her mouth. Jones tied her hands behind her back and bound her ankles. Joan opens the door of a walk-in meat locker and drags Alex into it. Despite Alex's struggles, Joan leaves her on the floor of the brightly lit refrigerator and closes the door on her. Jean staring down at a bin full of discarded meat.
Why would anybody throw away this amount of meat? Sell by dates are recent. It's like it hasn't even been refrigerated.
Like they were never going to use it.
Gov. This going through people's rubbish.
It bloody works, look.
We went out to Billy Dane's flat, went through his bins and found this old payslip. He used to work at the Alacasa. He worked for Chaz Kale.
Jean heads off. Alex is lying on her back in the refrigerator, staring up at the ceiling, her vision slipping in and out of focus. For a brief moment, the indistinct shape of the Piero appears. Jean drives the coupe at speed along the street and up onto the pavement in front of the restaurant. He leaves it there and gets out, walking up to the establishment's main entrance, only to find it locked. In the kitchen, Chaz looks panicked when he hears Jean ringing the doorbell. Joan rushes to Chaz's side.
No!
Who is it?
No!
Who
is it? It's the man who's coming to take you away. It's okay.
Chaz is lying on the floor as he succumbs to an epileptic fit.
That's it. You know what's coming. It's okay. You know what's happening. You're okay.
Jean's been pacing in front of the restaurant's plate glass windows, peering into the apparently empty premises. He walks off to the side of the building. Still bound and gagged in the meat locker, Alex stares up into the white light that surrounds her. The blurred face of the Piero is moving towards her.
Oh, look, I'm here for you.
Chaz's arms are held out taut in front of him as convulsions rack his body. Rushing out to the restaurant floor, Joan spots Jean marauding outside and quickly returns to the kitchens. Alex looks frightened as the Piero seems to bear down upon her. She has a flashing image of a red balloon floating skyward, then of a tape cassette being pushed into a player in a family car. Frustrated, Jean rattles the bars of a security gate. A brief flash of Tim winking into a rearview mirror. Then Caroline shouting at the young Alex from a car.
Alex!
Joe, Chaz, come and open this bloody door!
The car explodes and Alex lapses back into unconsciousness. Through the window, Jean spots Alex's police ID lying on the floor of the restaurant. He steps away from the window, pulls his gun from its holster, turns, and fires a bullet into the plate glass, shattering it. Fragments of broken glass fall in slow motion before the remnants of the entire window follow, revealing a determined-looking Jean standing beyond. Like a rainfall of diamonds, tiny shards of glass cascade from the window frame as Jean steps over it and into the restaurant. Alex tries to focus her eyes as, above her, the face of the Piero gives way to that of Jean's. Her eyes close again. Then Jean's carrying her from the locker. He rips open her blouse and begins chest compressions.
Don't you dare!
Alex doesn't respond, and he listens to her chest before beginning mouth to mouth. Alex's eyes open, and she raises her hand to touch Jean's cheek.
I worked it out. I made the connections, and I solved it.
Yeah, I think it's called concussion.
Forgive the stick of willow, but once bitten, twice shy. What can I do for you?
Ray hands over the Krishna statue.
Hare Krishna.
Ray exchanges a smile with Chris. Shaz is examining Alex's head injury.
Ow. Do you think you need stitches?
Oh, listen to the whimpering and the whining. You'll have to get around that. Oh, yeah.
Fine. I'm good. I'm great, actually. How's Chaz?
Oh, you know, Chaz lives to fit another day in prison. Bloody hellfire. Disgusting, obscene, smutty filth. Find out who did it.
What? What's obscene?
Nothing.
Ray's talking to Chris as Jean and Alex look on.
The restaurant's a scam. The Kales were using it to launder money. Didn't matter to them if no one came in to eat. Didn't bother them.
Look, this is how it works. You buy a restaurant for cash, yeah? Dirty money, money from a bank raid. Do it up, you run it at a loss, and then you sell it on, and the money you make...
It's clean money. Legal money.
And lots of it, hence the hitman. Do you know about the hitman?
Yeah, he was on the way to the restaurant to pick me up. Why, did you get him?
No, we didn't, but we will do.
So when they launder money, they don't actually watch it. What they do? Right, I'll see. Yeah, I've got it now. I've got it.
Right, let's get you home, shall we?
All I have to say to you, Jean Hunt, is that you should trust those aging instincts because you haven't even approached your prime yet.
I think you're right. In fact, I'm about 3 minutes away from reaching my sexual peak. Do you want to celebrate?
Unfortunately, I have a headache.
Of course you do.
Donnie appears.
Hey!
Hello. Where'd you come from?
Look what I done. I got taught how to do it by the bloke who brought us here. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Great presents for kids. I gave one to Caroline's daughter the other day. She loves it.
Of course you did. It was you. It was you who brought Donnie in.
I keep getting these reports from Caroline that you're ill or you're upset or both. And every time I see you, you just... I'm also here because Donnie wants to see his mum and he wants to see his new brother, if that's okay.
Can you come? You haven't seen my baby brother yet. And he can now.
Well, I can give you a lift home. I mean, it sounds as if you haven't been to bed all night.
Please say yes. Please do.
All right, yeah, sure. I'm just going to...
Yeah. I'll see you later. Well, tomorrow, probably. Sometime, whenever.
See you tomorrow.
As Alex walks away, her smile fades as she's gripped by a vision. She's dressed in black pajamas, the red sheet whipping about her, and she falls back into the bed. Someone's lying beneath the covers next to her. As Alex looks over, the sheet's thrown back to reveal that it's Jean. She looks at him with surprise. Back in the station, Alex turns around to look at Jean, but the corridor's empty. Puzzled, she walks off.
door.